Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook, got Eric Nalin. We got a Sunday update because Saturday was a packed day on the 40 acres, specifically for the Texas Longhorns football program. Make sure you do like this video and subscribe to the channel. And of course, if you have not already, head to InsideTexas.com. You can get 4 months of access for just $1. Insider recruiting updates, the latest team intel, all that, all the way through the end of July. You are not going to want to miss it. Again, 4 months for just $1. But we'll talk a little bit today about some of the stuff that happened on Saturday, the latest details from the Longhorn Saturday practice, the third for Texas this spring. We'll also talk about some top 2026 prospects who made their way. There were a host of visitors there from multiple classes, but we'll talk about the 2026 guys. But Eric, let's start with the stuff on the field. The guys in the program already going ahead with a Saturday scrimmage. And there were two names on the offensive side of the ball that really stood out from what you heard talking to sources.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a Saturday scrimmage necessarily, but it was definitely more team-oriented than the first two practices were. You know, this time of year, it's early in spring ball. We're trying to find themes, things that are going to carry through spring. A lot of times they carry through August, and if they do that, then it's going to come out to play on the field. That's really the value of the reporting is depth charts, who's making a move, who's maybe not making the move that they need to. Right now, you know, the theme of the first week was Arch Manning to Parker Livingstone, largely on play action, but not always play action. We had noted on IT, you know, in the months preceding spring ball that they were going to go to a more play action oriented offense that feel like Arch Manning's strength is to hit the deep ball. If you watch Parker Livingstone's highlights in high school, one of his strengths was using that vertical speed and size to win deep as well. And that's carrying over. Basically, the evaluation from high school for Parker is coming alive this spring. He's had multiple touchdowns, I think, in every practice. He had at least two on Saturday. He's giving corners some issues right now. So that's one of the main positives right now. Probably my number one takeaway from the week was Arch to Parker play action.
And that's part of successes that the offense had throughout this week, and especially on Saturday. And you've written about scrimmages or practices and, you know, training camp, spring practices for a long time. And normally one side of the ball tends to nose out ahead of the other, but this time it's a little bit of a different dynamic this spring.
Yeah. Well, normally the defense, especially the last 2 years, probably, you know, kind of underrated aspect that Texas's defense 2 years ago was pretty good and led up to that. Yeah. Maybe even a dominant defense last year. So the defense has been getting the better part of the offense the last couple of years. The practice on Saturday was definitely a lot more even than they traditionally are, or at least they have been. Very good sign for the offense going forward. It was it was thud tempo. They were only in shoulder pads. Monday will be the first full pad practice, so we'll get another barometer for the defense there. But it was despite being thud tempo, it's quite physical. They're not really playing around. So that's encouraging. The offense is probably ahead of where it was this time last year. You know, relative to the cast of characters, they're getting a lot of new, obviously a brand new offensive line almost entirely that we have heard good things about DJ Campbell and some positives about Cole Hudson that we wrote about in the Saturday report. But there's a new cast of characters. It's very encouraging to hear about the offense so far, but I think a lot of it has to do with the core identity of the offense kind of blending with Sark has traditionally preferred to do.
At least one of those positions had a lot of physicality as their redeeming quality, I guess to say, or their positive attribute that they showed throughout the week. And it's one that you need to have physicality in to play in this Texas offense.
Yeah, well, it was pretty spirited between the linebackers and safeties coming downhill on the running backs. And the running backs have a couple of new true freshmen. Everybody's trying to, you know, you always want to gauge how the guys react to getting popped. We heard really good things about James Simon and Ricky Stewart answering the call. Of course, Jared Gibson, you expect his physicality to be there. And he indeed is showing that physicality. Everybody knows Trey Wisner, toughest guy on the team. He'll run through a brick wall if you ask him to. Maybe even if you don't ask him to. But I'm really liking what I'm hearing about the physicality of the running backs, including the young running backs, and then also the linebackers. You know, everybody knows Anthony Hill. We don't typically ask about the superstars a whole lot. You know, like we talked about Parker Livingstone a lot. Of course, we could ask about Ryan Wingo every practice, but we already know we have a pretty good handle on him. We're trying to get to know the younger players. So Anthony Hill playing perfectly fine, but we're trying to get a gauge on the guys that aren't playing quite as much or haven't played quite as much or have switched positions.
Yeah, that leads into a good place to switch over to the defensive side of the ball. like you mentioned, Anthony Hill, a little bit of a known commodity. Leonga LaFalle was the starting Will linebacker last year for the Longhorns. But like you mentioned, a position switch from Trey Moore is making it a very healthy position at this point.
Yeah, Leonga's playing even faster. You expect that with the experience he gained last year. He's got a lot of time to process a lot of those plays that, you know, his miscues that he had. These guys think about their miscues throughout the offseason. They also remember what they did well. So Leonga's had a lot to process, and I think he's playing even faster because of it. He's always been a naturally smart football player. And again, he's always mentioned as being great in coverage. Trey Moore, we were hearing really good things about Trey Moore. I had one source kind of compare him to like the linebacker version of Jahdae Barron. You can just ask him to do anything, and he's going to find a way to get it done. Like we've mentioned before, they're trying to get the best 11 on the field, and the best 11 could change depending on what schemes they want to run. Obviously, if you want a linebacker in coverage, you're going to have Leonga over Trey, even though Trey's okay at it. And if you're going to want to get pressure on the quarterback, you're going to have Trey out there instead of Leonga, even though Leonga's pretty good at getting pressure and coming downhill as well. So there's just a lot of different things that they can mix and match. It's going to be a really fun offseason for discovering what the defense and offense wants to do with these with this brand new personnel. There's just a lot more versatility than they've had in the past. And that's kind of what the it's a good problem to have, trying to figure out the best 11 to get on each side of the ball.
Some of the guys who may not be fighting for one of those top 11 roles, but fighting for definitely a spot rotating in, getting a lot of snaps, are Santana Wilson and Xavier Filsimi. Wilson, a redshirt freshman corner. Filsimi, I think he played enough on special teams to be a sophomore, but I can't remember exactly. But those are two guys who, after biding their time last year behind some superstar players, have started to show a little bit more confidence and some physicality as a result.
Yeah, Santana, it's kind of like a quieter version of Parker Livingstone. Santana's been mentioned after every practice report. I think he's had a pick in each practice. He definitely had one on Saturday. It's exactly what you want to hear with him. Now he's got to bide his time, probably one more year. He does have some experience in front of him, but I mean, if he keeps playing like this, he's probably going to find his way into the rotation. Of course, he's got Malik Muhammad, Warren Roberson, Kobe Black, Jalen Gilbo. But we're hearing a lot about Santana. He had very exciting, encouraging high school tape. Of course, he's got tremendous football bloodlines with his father being Adrian Wilson. He's having a good camp so far. Hopefully he can keep that up. And Xavier Filsimi, we get asked about Xavier quite a bit because he was so highly rated. And based on traits, you can understand that. He's one of the fastest guys on the team. Was the fastest guy on defense until Ryan Niblett moved over to that side of the ball. So you want to get that speed on the defense. You know, Dwayne Aquina has done wonders with fast safeties. He's playing with a lot more confidence, and that confidence coming through with a little bit more physicality. It's a tough position room for him because he's got – you know, Michael Taft, Jelani McDonald is now at safety when for a long time the plan was to play him at nickel more. You got Derek Williams coming back in the summer. You've got Jordan Johnson-Rebell, who's quite natural back there. But in the offseason leading up to this, there's just really, really very little dead weight on the roster. And any dead weight that's there is probably not really dead weight. They're just too inexperienced, or they're waiting to physically mature before they're truly ready. Xavier Filsimi and Santana Wilson are two good examples of there's no dead weight. They might just have to wait a little bit longer.
We'll keep going to some of the recruiting intel that we gathered over the weekend. But first, a word from David McClellan.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a one-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Multiple-time national champion, and Bob Bowman's program added another one the weekend. So 16-time national champions for the Texas swimming and diving program, the men's program. Congrats to them. Congrats to David.
David was all over the board celebrating last night. He celebrated some as a swimmer, and he celebrated some as a fan last night. We appreciate his contributions. And, man, you know, an hour-long consultation. I wish I had enough financial considerations to where it would take an hour to have to go over that stuff. But McClellan's a guy. He's always been the guy, and he's an awesome contributor at Inside Texas. We're very happy for him. There could not be a better sponsor for today's show.
We'll keep going. The big news yesterday that Charlie Williams and I touched on in a video on this channel you should go check out is that Nicholas Robertson committed to Texas. Eric, just real quick on that, that helps put together the 2026 O-line picture, helps make it a little bit clearer with the big guys still out there available for Kyle Flood to go grab.
Yeah, I wrote an article about it. The offensive line class is right on time, as they tend to be. Outside of the 2022 class, where it was a bit of a struggle, it ended up very well, but it was a struggle throughout much of the process. Outside that class, it's been kind of easy pickings for Kyle Flood. Now you got Max Wright and Nicholas Robinson, two pretty clear fits. Wright is going to be a tackle, maybe a little bit on the longer curve. And then Nicholas Robertson is an obvious guard. What I like about these is, you know, it doesn't really keep Texas from, you know, being able to get some of the bigger names that all the fans are focused on, the Stargazer, John Turrentine, Felix Ojo. I would even throw Zayden Crimpen in there, even though he's not quite ready as those guys. I'm a huge fan of his. So it doesn't, you know, they're awesome pieces you can build around that you can stack up and store and develop and get right. Obviously, they're going to have some things to work on. But they're not going to keep Texas from adding a Felix Ojo or a John Turrentine. So they're perfect for this part of the cycle. That's what you want to do. We always call it setting the floor. And this is kind of what Kyle Flood does. He hasn't had too many struggles since that 2022 cycle.
That was a fun one for multiple reasons, but it didn't get fun until December. But we'll talk about some of the other prospects. Justin Wells was out on campus yesterday tracking down and talking to a lot of the prospects that made their way in, whether from a couple hours away on a drive or on a flight. And three big ones were Mark Bowman, Xavier Crowell, and Richard Wesley. There's, I think, over 20 prospects there, and Justin's going to have loads of intel, not just today, but this week on everybody who made it through. But Bowman, Crowell, and Wesley, three guys who, oddly enough, reclassified from 27 to 26, all made their way to campus. All three of these guys are at positions of major importance. And let's start with Bowman out on the West Coast. We grabbed a picture of him with Brandon Baker from Mater Dei. He's got some Texas connections, and this looks like another national tight end recruitment that Jeff Banks has Texas in the thick of for the Mater Dei star.
Yeah, I really love the way this one sets up. Bowman is a bit of a Texas fan, a bit of a Sark fan. There's just a lot of positivity around Steve Sarkisian and the Mater Dei program, and really in Southern California in general. Whenever you talk to coaches out there, they're big fans of Sark. Obviously, they're very familiar with him because he's a West Coast guy. And Jeff Banks gets some of that love, too, being a West Coast guy. So Texas is always set up well for Bowman. He's originally from Colorado, so he knows Gunnar Helm. He paid close attention to Gunnar Helm's development. Really had a first front row seat on that, having been recruited for quite a long time by Texas. Charlie put in a prediction for Mark Bowman to ultimately commit to Texas, and I agree with that. You know, we usually talk about the RPMs before they go in, and that's one that we all makes a lot of sense. That's going to be a lot of work left to do. I like what I'm seeing from his physical development. He looks a lot different than he did last spring when I saw him. Texas is just going to have to stay the course on this. A lot of times, the guys that reclassify, they're not in a hurry to get it done like their current classmates. We saw this with Zealous Hicks last year, because now they're having to expedite their process. They still want to take some time and be comfortable with their decision. So Bowman, it might take a while, but we like where Texas is at. They got to keep chopping wood, though.
Next up is Xavier Crowell from Jackson, Alabama. Definitely a battle that's going to be featuring a lot of Southeastern schools, especially Alabama, especially Auburn. But this was big for Chad Scott to get Texas back really into this recruitment after the departure of Tashard Choice affected it in a bad way for the Longhorns.
Yeah, about 5 minutes after Tashard Choice left for the Lions, Crowell tweeted out that, you know, Texas is no longer going to get an official visit. And then about 5 seconds after Javon Osborne said he wasn't going to take an official visit, Xavier Crowell said his was back on. So there's a you know, modern recruiting is funny. This was big for Chad Scott to get him on campus. There had been, when Tashard Choice was at Texas, there had been growing optimism that Texas had a chance with Crowell despite being from Alabama and having, obviously, it's going to be a civil war between Auburn and Alabama. Texas is going to try to sneak him out. And, I think this weekend it was a multi-day visit. I think this checked a lot of boxes, and I think Texas is going to stay in it. Far too early to get too confident in it. But certainly it's one worth watching. It's, you know, it's not a waste of time to follow that recruitment by any stretch.
Last but not least, edge recruiting is taking a little bit of time to come into focus. But when you have someone like Richard Wesley, who reclassified from 27 to 26, he's still ranked within the top 100, or excuse me, within the top 120. I think On3 has him ranked very highly. And you watch his tape, you'll be able to see a player that, you know, fits in and is highly rated in any class, not just one he's kind of skipping ahead. But this gives Texas a little bit more clarity and a little bit of an idea of where their edge recruiting picture can go now that they've got him on campus and are likely going to get him on campus again coming this summer.
Yeah, it's taken a little bit for, you know, edge recruiting to take on its own personality. It's kind of just floating out through the ether there for a while. We didn't really know which direction it was going. I think the addition of Lealen Clark definitely seemed to give it a little bit more direction, a little bit more purpose. Edge recruiting has been really good the last couple cycles. It was actually a sensational last cycle, even though they only ended up taking two. And then Colin Simmons a year before that, that's a good cycle all on its own. This one lacked a little bit of direction. Getting Wesley on campus is big. Yeah, West Coast is for the taking, I believe. You know, USC has a pretty good staff, but it's not really showing on the field. You know, they keep having to make hires to create excitement rather than the player on the field doing the recruiting for them. And then, you know, Texas, of course, that's a super easy. Texas is really the first school on a direct flight that you could say is serious about football outside of Oregon, you know. And so if you want to go get sort of the SEC flavor and not have a huge culture shock, going from Southern California to Tuscaloosa is a whole lot different from going to Tuscaloosa or from Southern California to Austin. So I like the way it shapes up with West Coast recruiting in general. And then you factor in the staff and these and the relationships they have out there. Yeah, they're gonna pick it up out on the West Coast, and we'll see. You know, at least we have a tangible edge prospect, another one at least to keep track of.
We'll be keeping track not just of Wesley, but a ton of different recruits and spring practice over on Inside Texas. So make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. Join today. You can get 4 months of access for just $1 here at the end of March. That gets you all the way through the end of July. So you've got the rest of spring practice, the rest of these visits over the course of spring, camps, official visits, decision times, decisions, and a little bit of the lead up to the season as well. So make sure you head to InsideTexas.com, $1 for just 4 months. Eric, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.